We ready to begin the message here? Yeah, I think we should. All right, that's good. No, I think being concerned for one another and reaching out, that's what the church should be doing, you know. And definitely be able to do that. So let's just begin with a word of prayer, and we will be looking at our spiritual blessings, looking at number one to begin with. So Lord, I just thank you for this time that we have, how we can share your word. And I just pray that the Holy Spirit gives us meaning, gives us the understanding that we need to have to just know the greatness and the blessings that you have in store for us, not in the future, right now. And, well, it's in the future too, but we just like to know that it's something that we can obtain here and now. We thank you for that, Lord, and we pray all of this through your Son, Jesus. Amen. So yeah, we're going to be at spiritual blessings, and we'll be looking at number one. You know, I've been looking at some commentaries that go along with this, and they kind of divide this up into more spiritual blessings, but I think I'm kind of grouping this section together. We're going to be looking at part A, B, and C within the blessings of the first blessing that's mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 4. But I just want to remind people, like last week we talked about, you know, the different covenants that we have. So we've got the Old Testament covenant, we've got the New Testament covenant. The Old Testament covenant was about the law. And in that law, there were blessings that came, that if you've obeyed God's laws, the blessings that you were given were basically physical blessings. And they were blessings of health. They were blessings that things would go well with your children, that your borders were well protected, and you know your enemies weren't going to be advancing upon you. Long life sometimes. And fruits and crops and rain, you know, all to come when it's supposed to. They were blessings, physical blessings. In the New Testament, we have a new covenant, all right, and a very, very new one. So it's not the same. We're not bound by the law. And we have what we are reminded of over and over and over again in Scripture is to believe, and to believe who Jesus Christ is and what he has done for us on the cross and all of that. And the blessings that come from that are spiritual blessings. Now, can we still have those physical blessings? Of course, right? But what we're looking at is this new covenant comes with new blessings. And so Ephesians talks about those blessings. And I want to read this section I'm going to cover here today in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. It says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." So, we're going to look at this in three different sections. The first section is we're going to take this first verse that we've got, and the fact that he has chosen us. It's funny, you know, Scripture never tells us to choose Christ. I looked that up, and it just doesn't say that. It tells us to believe in him. But it never tells us to choose him. But I do think, you know, in that believing, you know, we're choosing, I guess, you could say we're doing that. But those aren't the words that are actually used in Scripture. But it does say in Scripture that God has chosen us. Now, that may not seem like a blessing, but I tell you it is. Because I can think of many children in school that I come in contact with where their parents have not chosen them. They've chosen to go their own ways by divorcing and having their kid come only on weekends or during the week, or you know, for this week and for that next week, or maybe on the weekend. And the kids have found that they are not chosen, but just kind of a mistake, and they're in the way. They've complicated things. So for them to be able to hear that God has chosen them, Now, when we come from a good, say, solid family and stuff, you know, this is encouraging. This is good. But I think you need to understand there's many people that do not feel worthy of anything. And then think also to be in a Muslim area as a Christian, whether a missionary person or a person that just believes, you almost have to do it silently, that you are alone. And to know that God has chosen you, you know, that in one individual in that environment to be a witness or just to live for God. And that's monumental. That's be able to set this whole thing up and to be able to just to appreciate what God has for us. Because He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the creation of the world. So even before this world was created, before the animals were put on the world, or the birds of this the sky were put in, the fish in the sea, you know, the land masses and all the stuff that were established in this world, God knew, and God chose you specifically. To be able to know that and understand it, because it's not just that He chose us to say, oh yeah, He knows us and everything, but look what it says. To be holy and blameless in His sight. Now, I'm going to tell you something you probably don't want to hear. You're really not that good of a person.
I was scared about that.
Now, but God has chosen us to be holy and blameless. And so you know what He does? He makes a way for that to happen through Christ. On our own, we cannot do that. And so He has chosen us to be part of His plan to make us holy and righteous before Him. Because He has a purpose for us. The here and now, and in the future as well. He has that huge plan that's there. I want to go to 1 Peter and look at this chosen aspect of it. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5. And we got another verse in 1 Peter as well. It says, as you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by men, but chosen by God, chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Do these two scriptures, this Ephesian scripture and the 1 Peter scripture, tie in together with one another? Two different authors, and they do. They speak about a couple things in the sense that that we are to be a holy priesthood, right? And things have to go through Christ, it's through Him, that whole aspect of it. But when we look at this here, I've always thought of, being part of that living stone, you know, that we're part of the foundation of God's church is really what it is. We become the wall. We're not really the walls, but it's just a metaphorically a statement that's here, saying basically that we are the church. Right, and that we look at the physical structure here, but really the church is us. And the church is made up of these living stones in order to build that sort of thing. And look what it says about the stones. The stones are being built into a spiritual house. You're incorporated into that spiritual home of God as a family. It's not like we're alone in this whole aspect, but you're part of the structure. As there's other individuals that are living stones that are Christians that are also part of the structure as well. All of us together make the church. Bound together, that in a way we're dependent on each other. It's been said before that when someone is absent, you know, in the church for a Sunday or something, you know, the pew seems empty, doesn't it? That there's a missing gap that's there. And it's the same thing that we're talking here. But we're being built in the that spiritual house for a purpose, to be a holy priesthood. Now, how many people here want to be that sort of thing? Right? Because when you're a holy priest, you're basically leading, you are proclaiming, you are doing all of God's work because you've submitted to Him and your entire being is now for God. It doesn't say that part of you is being built into the spiritual house. All of you is being built into that. And I think that's important to, again, remember that the blessings that we have from God are not really here on this earth as physical things, but it's a spiritual blessing. Now, the church itself is here, and that is a spiritual entity, if we want to call it that. Let's look at the second 1 Peter verse we have in chapter 2, verses 9 through 10. But you are a chosen people. And here we are again. Chosen, right? Selected out of individuals or whatever you want to call it that. A royal priesthood. A holy nation. A people belonging to God. And he's just refining all of that. We've been picked out of a bag, you know, and your name happened to be that winning lottery ticket that went with, being a Christian, and so bad, too bad for those others that weren't picked and everything. And it's not like that sort of item, because we tend to materialize things, and that's what people will say, but it's not really the case. We'll see that here in a moment. But you're not alone in this being chosen. That there's a purpose for everybody that is being chosen. A people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. Right? That's before we were Christian and knowing God, and then after accepting who He is. Right? We have chosen to be able to do that sort of thing. Guess what? We can't do that and not be chosen at the same time. You can't force that upon God and say, "Oh, I'm going to believe you regardless whether you choose me or not." It doesn't work that way. Once you were not a people, but now you are the people of God. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Because you are chosen, there are blessings upon blessings. In this scripture, it talks about the mercy that's being brought in. Does anybody remember what mercy is versus grace? Right. Not to give you the punishment or things that you deserve. Right? So those things are removed from us. So what do we deserve? Death. Why? Because we have sin, innate sin in us. And then Jesus Christ took that sin to the cross. He paid the price. We don't have to. That's mercy. So if you accept Christ, then and you will believe what Christ has done, then that's true. That really has been fulfilled. And let's look at this future aspect over here. And I'm not going to get into all of what it means, but I just we talk about this priesthood, right? Well, what's the purpose of the priesthood? If we go to Revelation chapter 20, verses 4 through 6, so there's only a couple 22 chapters in Revelation. It was near the end, right? So I want you to be thinking a little bit about what it means in terms of the purpose of being chosen to be a holy priesthood. He says, "I saw thrones on which were seated those who had been given authority to judge. And I saw the souls of those who had been beheaded because of their testimony for Jesus and because of the word for God." Right? So those were the ones that had been persecuted for believing. And they believed all the way through, regardless of what went through them, and what happened in life. They had not worshipped the beast or his image, and had not received his mark on their foreheads or their hands. They came to life and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. The rest of the dead did not come to life until 1,000 years were ended. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy are those who have a part in the first resurrection. The second death has no power over them, but they will be priests of God and of Christ, and will reign with him for 1,000 years. After this life, God is not done with you. Just real simply, I'll put. That he has a purpose for us, the here and now, but he also has a purpose for us in the future. Maybe this idea of just, you know, sitting on the clouds and eating, you know, grapes, you know, being handed to us and stuff like that is probably not a very accurate picture of what heaven's going to be like. I think God has a lot of work for us to do, and I think God has a lot of work for us on this earth. And during the time of here where he reigns for 1,000 years on earth, there's a job for those believers and for those that have been called to be able to do his work. So, just that calling. So, in that, when God calls us, there's another aspect of that calling, right? So, I want to go back through and read the part that's underlined. It says, in love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Now, this one here is the one that really takes people for a loop because of that one word, predestined. And we see in that word predestined that there are those that are chosen, and no matter what you do, you will be chosen, you will be a believer. And then we also see in that word that, oh, if some are chosen, then some are not. And those that are not will never be chosen. That's not really what I feel that this predestined means. Is that God has a plan, right? And that plan was set up even before the creation of the world, because he chose you, right? Then this whole plan is that we know that Jesus Christ died on the cross for just those that were chosen or predestined. It doesn't say that. Jesus Christ died on the cross for everyone so that everyone could come to the Father. Everyone. That includes those that, even those that don't accept Christ, Christ died for them. Those that don't believe in Christ, Christ died for them. So when we look at this predestined word, is that God had a plan and he predestined that there were going to be believers. And there's going to be blessings for those believers. And he predestined it that those believers will be considered adopted into the family of God. And why does he say adopted? Well, it's kind of funny in a way because, you know, we were God's creation right from the very beginning of Adam and Eve. You know, it was all set up and, you know, we were to be, you know, walking in the Garden of Eden with God in his presence. That was the plan. But because Adam and Eve had kind of chose to do, you know, be defiant to God and kind of wanted to choose their own way, well, sin entered the world and they were cast out of that particular area over there. And so what's happened is that we have become aliens in a way to God. There's a division that's sort of there. But because Christ has died for us, he has made a way to bring us back and restore us to that aspect. And you have to understand too, the adoption part you can understand in the sense that, you know, there's orphans that are in this home and a lot of times they're children or whatever and they need a parent, so they have foster parents that generally stay with them. But then there's those that they're the individuals, couples or individuals I suppose, can adopt that child and call them their own. And you get this piece of paper that says, you know, that child is now your child. And they're set up in there. But it's always the stigmatism of, I'm an adopted child. You know? And it's always there. In Old Testament, and understanding at the time of adoption, at this time here, adoption is not like that. Adoption gives you every right as a child born within that family. Every aspect of it. Your name has changed, your abilities have changed, your inheritance changes, your expectations of what you were to do for the family changes. You are a member of the family. And you don't need an adoption paper to prove that, because it is the way it is. There's no difference between a natural born son or daughter with the adopted son or daughter in that family. No difference at all. And that's exactly the way God speaks about that in our adoption, in a way. When we look at it in other scripture that talks about being grafted in. So in Romans chapter 11, verses 17 through 21 says, if some of the branches have been broken off, and here he's talking about, God's talking about the root essence of the plant, and the branches have been broken off would have been the Israelites who, on their unbelief of who Christ is, right? They're kind of taken out of the vine of God, that God himself in the Old Testament says that he has divorced the Israelites because of unbelief. But look at this here, where he talks about, have been broken off, and you, though a wild offshoot, Gentile, have been grafted in among the others and now share the nourishing sap from the olive root, do not boast over those branches. If you do, consider this, you do not support the root, but the root supports you. Right? So who supports us as being a believer? But Jesus Christ himself, right? And so he guides us, and we have the Holy Spirit, and we have God the Father, all God supporting us. We're not on our own, but we have him as our connection, our link to do anything that's good. He says, branches were broken off so that I could be grafted in. Granted. But they were broken off because of unbelief. And you stand by faith. Again, there's that New Testament aspect that we have faith, belief in God. It says, do not be arrogant, but be afraid. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he will not spare you either. Right? Our belief is the basis of being able to get the spiritual blessings that we have. And when we have those spiritual blessings, we are connected to God in a very special way, that the nourishment of life that comes to us through that branch comes from the base of the plant, which is God the Father, and through Jesus there. So there's just some symbolic way of looking at it. And then Jesus says in John 15:6-16, says, I no longer call you servants, because the servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last. Again, we are in the family. Everything that has been given to Christ is now given to the believers, to us, the chosen, if you can call it that. Right? There's no separation. He's not doing things. We know that God's blessings. It's mentioned in the Old Testament. I can't remember if it's the old or new now. But the rain falls on the good and the bad. Everybody receives God's blessings here. Not everybody recognizes that as God's blessings. And so, when we recognize that and give tribute to God, then we are grafted in, and it's considered, there with Christ. Right? That he chose us. And again, gives us a responsibility of what to do being chosen. We've got to bear fruit. We can look here in Romans 9:6-8, and again, it talks about that being born of, in God's family. And here the difference is whether it's a physical being born, genetics, and in terms of your grandfather, great-great-grandfather, and you can go back, I don't know how many greats, to go back all the way to Abraham. Or is there a different type of family that we've been brought into? It says this, it is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Now, what's that mean? Well, not all Israelites are really the sons of God. They're not, because because of their unbelief, right? They're part of those branches that have been broken off. But it says here, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. So what's the definition of Abraham's children? And he goes on to say about that. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. And we're like, what? How does that even deal with Isaac that things are going to be happening? Well, who does Isaac come from but Abraham and Sarah, right? Is that their only child? No, they had Ishmael before then. But Ishmael was not the one that God has decided that his that lineage is going to go through. Why? Because what Abraham did with Sarah was to try to help God out. Because he was given this promise that he was going to have, they were going to have multiple children, you know, generations to come, and there would be, you couldn't even count them. There were so many of them. So they decided to have a child on their own through a servant, Sarah's servant there. And so that was what they call the child born of the natural, right, of the physical aspect. Going back to the Old Testament, there's a physical, but in the New Testament, there's a spiritual aspect. So, Isaac, even though Sarah was past her prime, and she was in her 90s when she had Isaac, that was a spiritual blessing that could only come from God. And so this is what the scripture is saying, is that you as a family member are coming through that lineage of a blessing, of a spiritual family. All right? So let's just read on. In other words, it is not the natural children who are God's children, but the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. It's on the basis of belief that Abraham was considered righteous. He believed that God was going to do what he said in terms of making many nations out of him. Even after Sarah couldn't produce a child, God said, yep, she's going to anyhow. That's powerful. Because if we're looking to the world or the physical aspects of how God works, then we are really limiting him. Like, phenomenally. Right? You are a descendant of Abraham through a spiritual gift. Maybe not a physical one, but a spiritual one. And then we get back to John. I like this verse here because I always thought this was, to me, this has always meant a lot to me. And John 15, 5 through 8 says this, I'm the vine and you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And I want to go back to that. We've been grafted in, right? So our nutrients doesn't come from ourselves. It comes from the root or the stem that we've been grafted into. That's what this is saying. We can't do anything on our own. It has to be done through God. All right. If anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Again, this is what goes on in terms of as we are part of the family, we're expected to be part of the family and do the things that the family members would do. And this is to give glory to God. How do we do that? Well, by being that holy priesthood for Him. Being that living stone that builds the church for God. That's being part of that. And to be able to be even asked or chosen to be part of God's plan like that, I tell you, that is the number one spiritual blessing that we have. And we know what we do sometimes as Christians? Oh, my car is really bad. Why, I should be getting a new car. Why doesn't God bless me with a new car? Or we think, you know, I lost my job. What's God doing for me? You know? Well, you know what? He's chosen you to be part of His plan. And we shouldn't be looking to the worldly things in which pleases God, but look to those spiritual things, right? To produce that fruit. Don't be looking for those physical blessings like the Old Testament did all the time. Look to those spiritual blessings. Keep that on the forefront of your head all the time. And I think you'll start to see the world a little different. You'll start to see your relationship with God a little different. And as it grows and matures. So let's look at this last part here. It says, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us, the one He loves. And all of this together, this whole section, really is just a beautiful concept of God wanting you to be in His family, and He has chosen and made a way for you to do that. Our job is to believe and respond with that, and just in the love that we have. So let's look here. So we've seen this before. Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, and this is a very common scripture you'll hear from in terms of promoting what Jesus has done and what God the Father has done. And let's just read this through, but not just John 3:16, but even that which is after, looking in the perspective of this spiritual blessing that's mentioned in Ephesians. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through Him. Right? So that's important. Everything has to be done through Him. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned. Is that a blessing? Yeah, it is. It's like, again, a number one blessing that we have from believing who Christ is. And we're not looking at it just as a ticket to get out of hell, but looking at it as a ticket to be able to worship the one true God and know who He is without question. Right? But whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. And it's through Jesus that we can praise God the Father. It really ties together an awful lot. Let's look at this one here in Romans 8:31-32. What then shall we say in response to this? Right, this whole aspect we're looking at. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is giving us this ability and being chosen so that we can receive these spiritual blessings, how can anything be opposed to that? Well, I know Satan will try to do his thing. But God is so much more powerful than Satan. Satan is only as powerful as God allows him to be. But look at this. He mentions again about the one, Christ. He who did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, how will He not also, along with Him, graciously give us all things? Is there something that you're lacking? Who do you have to go to? God. Is there something that you have been placed on your heart and you need to pray? Who do you pray to? But God. Why? Because the inheritance that God has been given to Jesus, which has been also given to us. Everything. That's a hard concept to handle. Would you like to be responsible for everything that God has? I'm like, no. We're not meant to do that on our own, are we? We're meant to do it through Christ. And it's that connection that we have through Him which is so, so, so important. So when we look at this next verse here in John 3:21, it says this, but whoever lives by the truth comes into the light, so that it may be seen plainly that what he has done has been done through God. So who gets the praise that we are chosen? God does. Who gets the praise that we have been given gifts to be able to bear fruit? God does. who gives praise, who gets praise for the work of the holy priesthood. But God gets that praise. All of it. Because He's made all of this. So let's go back to this scripture again, the Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 6. He says, "For He chose us in Him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in His sight. In love, He predestined us to be adopted as His sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with His pleasure and will, to the praise of His glorious grace, which He has freely given us in the one He loves." That is the number one blessing that we've got in this scripture right here. God has chosen us to do His work so that He can be glorified. And sometimes as Christians, I'm going to go back to this, we're more concerned about, do we have enough land? What's my retirement going to look like? I mean, God worries about that sort of thing. But really what's important is this spiritual work that we've got to do. And that comes from the heart. That comes from you believing and trusting in the Lord with everything that you've got, with all your strength, with all your soul, and with all your might. Everything that you've got. And you can do that. Why? Because God chose you. Amen? Lord, I do thank You for the many blessings that You have given us, even the physical ones. But I think the ones that really count are these spiritual blessings that we have. Because that gives us the focus that we need to have in life to endure the things that we have in life. That even like Job, he lost family members, he lost property, he lost material possessions, his cattle, his buildings. He never lost his faith in God. And he was blessed over and over again because of that. We believe in God. We believe in Jesus. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Godhead, three in one. We believe in the absolute truth of that scripture that we've read. We believe in the power of God, that His spoken word creates. We believe on the promises that God has for us. And we believe that through the power of God, through the workings of Jesus and the movement of the Holy Spirit, that we can do things that give praise to God. What a blessing that is. We pray all of this through Your Son, Jesus. Amen.